Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. We're a few minutes late. We're getting our technical stuff together. This is Winfrey, and it's our Monday night conference line. And we've been doing this call for quite a few years now. And we've had a very loyal bunch of people coming in, supporting the energies of it. And we have done some extraordinary things on our Monday night call. Oftentimes, I pick a topic, and we start a channeling, and we ask questions about that particular topic. And we do it live. We're not going to do that tonight, because there's so many new people. It's kind of like we have to integrate the energies. Can you guys all hear me on the conference line?
Yeah.
Great.
It would be good if you mute the lines in between, Wynn, because
I will mute it, okay? Thank you. Hang on.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. So the conference line is muted, and I know we have a lot of listeners on BBS Radio, and thank you so much for taking your time and tuning in to us this evening. Obviously, we've been having a pretty extraordinary experience. I have myself since 2002, and now there's a group that's been having that experience. And it started out, the experience started out with, as you probably are reading the book or read the beginning of the book, where I had this new friend, and we were driving, and I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And she answered, which started a series of dialogues with a voice that said, they were the council of Elohim. Now, they didn't say that for the first four or five times. There were other voices. There was something that said the council of On, which later said they were a division of the council of Elohim. Now, if you put yourself in my position, and suddenly someone's talking to you, and a voice says they're the Elohim, and then you Google the word Elohim, and you find things like the creators of the physical universe, the name for God in the Old Testament, the name the Mormons use for God, you'd have a hard time believing it was real. I had a hard time believing it was real. And it took me about 3 years to say, geez, I think they are who they said they were, said they are. Now, of course, one of the interesting things that first caught my attention was that I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And in that book, told the story of the connection between David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. Now, if you don't know who Edgar Cayce was, he died in 1945. You can go look him up on the internet. For 40 years of his life, he had a voice coming through him that was able to answer questions about almost anything. And in particular, for the first 20 years that he was doing this, the questions were all health-related, where people would ask a question about their health or someone they cared about. And the voice that came through Edgar Cayce was able to answer these questions with medical precision. They could diagnose the person. Then the person would go to the doctor, and whatever they were told in this reading was what the doctor said. And then in the second 20 years, he did this for 40 years, the voice started telling people who they were in their past lifetimes and how what they had done in their past lives was impacting their present life. And This was a little harder to prove, but I remember when I was 30 years ago, I had read 20 books about Edgar Cayce. And at that time that I did that reading, I was kind of an agnostic. I said, I wonder what's out there. I don't know if there's anything out there. I want to be able to prove it to myself if there is. And as I read Edgar Cayce, I started to say, this guy really existed. There must be something out there that I don't understand, but I'm going to keep studying and researching to try to understand more. So I spent many years of my life reading books about spiritual things, attending lectures from people, and at one point, there was a guy who I crossed paths with that a friend of mine said could do readings just like Edgar Cayce. And so I went and had a reading from him, and in that reading, he told me I was duplicating patterns from a past lifetime where I was a troubadour in England 1,000 years ago. And, of course, at that time, I identified with being a singer-songwriter. I was traveling all over the country. I was playing at little coffee shops, at colleges, and I really didn't have a home. I didn't really be centered anywhere. I was just living on the edge playing music, and I loved it. It was like, you know, remember, I used to be a physics major. I was very linear. I was scientific, and suddenly I'm having miracles of synchronicity. I'm having people loving me, and I'm writing songs. And so he said I was duplicating this pattern of a lifetime in England, and then he told me the whole story of what happened in that lifetime. And I'm not going to tell the story now, but what I realized is not only did the story help me understand my relationships with all the people in that lifetime, my father, my girlfriend at the time, I had written a song probably 6 or 8 years before he did this reading, and the song had exactly the same story, and it talked about a poet and I'm not going to take the time up and tell you the story, but it was so accurate that I realized that reincarnation had to be real. There was no other way to explain how this guy could tell me the same story that was in my song. Now, I didn't know what to do with that. I just said, reincarnation is real, and I'm just going to be open. So when I was writing the book about David Wilcock being the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I had studied Edgar Cayce tremendously. There's 500 books that have been written about Edgar Cayce, about every aspect of his work, because after he died, his children opened up a library of all his readings, and all these people came to research it, many of them trying to prove that he was a fraud, and they couldn't. His stuff was too accurate. If you're not familiar with Edgar Cayce, do a search on Edgar Cayce, and you'll see probably a million websites, and you'll see the story of his life, which was amazing. So in discovering David Wilcock and studying David's story of his connection with Edgar Cayce, I knew enough about Edgar Cayce at that point to not only, be resonant with the story, which is an incredible story, but to also, as I was studying his readings, be resonant with the way the readings were formed. And it sounded like Edgar Cayce. In fact, they were correcting some of Edgar Cayce's readings at that time through Wilcock. And one of the major aspects of what David was bringing forth from his channelings was this idea that we are in the midst of a dimensional shift. There's something happening now that has not happened for 75,000 years. And the rules of the game are different right now than they ever have been previously. And the vibration of the Earth is lifting, and the Earth, if you're familiar with the word chakra, which is a human, it applies to humans normally, there's supposedly seven chakras in your body, and each chakra is an energy center that relates to a certain part of your being. So, for example, your third chakra is your solar plexus, and your, which represents power and individuality. If you know martial arts, you know martial arts students are taught to radiate energy from their solar plexus in order to get an edge on their opponent. And the fourth chakra represents your heart, which is compassion and empathy. And it goes on up, like the third eye in the center of your forehead is your sixth chakra, and it represents psychic awareness, sensitivity to vibrations. And the Earth is also having chakras. And to understand the nature of this shift, the easiest way is to talk about the chakras of the Earth. Now, when humans evolve, when they get more spiritually evolved, they learn to open their different chakras. And some of you know the experience of when your heart's open, it kind of has a glowing, warm feeling inside of it. Some people very rarely have that feeling, and some people have it lots. And part of the work we're doing on these calls is helping people open their hearts. And opening your heart does not mean wearing your heart on your sleeve. It doesn't mean being a nice person. It has to do with energy flow from your heart into the space around you. Well, the Earth itself has chakras. We could use that term for the Earth. And for 75,000 years, the Earth has been a third chakra planet, which means the principal lesson in this realm has been for people to learn power and individuality, individuation. And because of this cycle end, because of this shift that's occurring, the Earth is moving into a fourth chakra planet. This is what they're saying. This is what Wilcox sources were saying. It's not anything a human could figure out on their own. And so I didn't know if it was true as I was writing the book. I knew that Wilcox was Casey. I knew that his source was wise. And if you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, half of the book is composed of these messages from Wilcox's source. And when they started talking about the Earth is moving into a new dimension, I couldn't prove that. But I'd say I'll be open to it. And another thing they said, which they never said through Edgar Casey, is they explained who they were. And they said that they were a group soul that was made up of graduates of this realm. So if you're familiar with Buddhism, there's this term that's called getting off the wheel of reincarnation. And many of us have had hundreds or even thousands of lifetimes in this realm, and we get stuck here. We don't even know we're stuck. We don't even know we reincarnate. But the way it works is when you die, your energy continues, and it goes back to what you were attached to when you died. So if you're attached to, like, I want to be successful, I want to have everybody love me, I want to have this love of my life, you're romantic, and you didn't fulfill those things, you have to come back to this realm to fulfill them. Also, there's something called karma, which means you can create debt and obligation to this realm, i.e., maybe you really hurt somebody in another lifetime. And because you did that, that creates the circumstance where you need to come back and fix that in some way. So this is how it works, and I'm sure at this point that that's true, that we come back for many, many, many lifetimes. Every time we come into this realm, it's like a blank slate on one hand, because we don't remember our past lives, but we do carry the matrix of our past lives. So if you have talent, if you have propensities, if you're mean, if you're loving, you carry all those things in your matrix. And as you grow and get older, it starts to feel like that's who you are. And so one of the ways to get off the wheel of reincarnation is to make connection with energies that are not of this realm, that are outside this realm, and really make the connection energetically, at which point, when you die, that energy is still present. And you have more options on the other side as to where you go. So I was studying Wilcock, and I was studying all this story about this shift and about what they were saying was, because the Earth is going into fourth chakra, or a heart compassion-based planet, for a human to continue on the Earth, in order to fit into the energy field of the Earth, their heart had to be open slightly more than half. And if it wasn't, then you didn't fit. You couldn't fit into the Earth. So you would get moved to another planet in another star system to start over as a cycle repeater, third chakra evolution, power and individuality. And that what they were saying was that people were making this choice, but they didn't know they were making it by the way they lived their lives. Well, that's all put in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And by the way, the source that was speaking through David Wilcock, they did say who they were. And they said they were a group soul, or they were a social memory complex. And they were composed of souls, millions of them, multi-millions of souls, maybe billions, that graduated this realm, that got off reincarnation. And they operated as a team to help planetary populations who were still stuck in reincarnation to graduate. Now, you'll notice that what I'm saying and describing about this shift and this division of souls is, it has a certain connection to what Jesus said, like one will be taken, one will be left behind. The meek will inherit the earth. And there was an indication that this huge group soul has been participating in the evolution of humans on this planet from the beginning of humans. And there was the indication that Jesus might have been a member of this group soul who came and took a series of incarnations on Earth, culminating in his Jesus lifetime, to be of service. And that when Jesus said, Father, it just might have been this group's soul that answered. So as I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I was considering, geez, if they are who they say they are, this is a humongous responsibility to put this book out into the world. And I couldn't prove to myself that that was true, but they were so wise and loving in their messages that I had to consider that it just might be. And I was doing a huge amount of research, cross-referencing, and going back and finding other people who channeled that same source, comparing the messages, and everything was checking out. Well, I started writing the book in the year 2000, and in the year 2002, I met Daphne. And then for 6 months, she would keep interrupting whatever else we were doing and saying, those guys want to talk to you again. And I pulled out this cassette recorder and turned it on, and I would ask them questions. Well, you probably know the story of they predicted a newspaper headline, and they talked about what they did with my sister, and they took her lupus out, and they said they projected a filter into her blood, and she had a medical miracle. But also, I was asking all the questions about the book I was writing and about the shift that was going on our planet and about David Wilcock and the group soul that was made up of graduates. I was not talking to the group soul that was made up of graduates who identified themselves through Wilcock as the Ra group. I was talking to this voice that said they were the Elohim group. And they said they were a group soul that never took bodies. Or if they did, the bodies got stuck here. There's some of you who may be Elohim bodies that are in this realm. But they were pure energy, and they were at the beginning of the universe, and that they did create the physical universe. And if you read the book, they explained how they did it. Not that I understood it all, but I said, there's something that resonates about this. Maybe it's possible that they are who they said they were. But it was very, very striking at the time to realize that they were giving a second opinion about everything that was coming through Wilcock, and it was exactly the same as Wilcock's channelings. And it was a little scary for me, because when I was writing the book, I was thinking, well, I can't prove this, but I'll say what they're saying, and it's a second opinion. But when Daphne started channeling and answered all the questions exactly the same way, I had to really give myself pause. And I did keep thinking, could this be negative? Could I have a negative source? Could they be fooling me? Even when I had the healings, and even when they did the correct future prediction of the I-40 bridge collapse into the Arkansas River, it was a huge responsibility to try to bring this out into the world and talk to other people about it. And I didn't want to make a mistake. Once you start talking about it, you kind of get stuck. And, well, I mean, if I ever thought I was making a mistake, I would quit in my tracks right now. And I don't think I am. And that's why I tell everyone that if what I'm saying is true, you need to yourself evaluate this material with a fine-tooth comb and make sure that it resonates with you. I know there's some people that look at my material quickly and they say, oh, that's got to be demonic, or that's got to be the Anunnaki. Now, I say it could be, but I don't see any indications that it's that. And, you know, if you study Jesus, you know, one of the things Jesus said is, by your fruits you shall be known. And I have watched very carefully. We've been doing this in small ways for quite some time. And I have watched how people have been impacted, how they actually shifted and changed. And one of the things about these group souls that I learned in 2004, I think, this was the first time I became aware of this, and this kind of blew my mind, was I was giving a talk in San Diego, and as I looked into the room, I could see energy in the room. Now, I have sat in some lectures and talks with some very high spiritual people, and I remembered feeling that energy while they were talking. I could see the energy. I could see it glow around people. And suddenly I was giving a talk on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I could see that same glow in the room. That I didn't have the idea that I was doing it. It was just there. And when people came out of the room to buy books, they were saying to Terry, who was selling books outside the door, that I could see auras. I could see energy in the room. I never saw that before. That must be what people are always talking about. And so it wasn't just my perception. It was people in the room that never felt that, that were experiencing it for the first time. So I then did a channeling later on, and I said, could you explain that energy in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. And that was mind-blowing. And so now I started checking it out, and every time I gave a talk, that energy was in the room, and that energy was very uplifting. So I'm starting to get the idea that this voice that's talking to me not only can give me this amazing information about how the universe works, they had the ability to project from where they were into this realm in a way that people could feel them. Not only feel them, but get very uplifted and happy. It's like things start to clear. And every Sunday, we do what I call a grid healing. And this is all developed by trial and error. I say over and over again, don't believe in this until you have your own experience. You can believe that I'm telling the truth, which I am. I don't exaggerate anything. There's a lot of witnesses. These things actually happened. But you need to have your own experience to feel the energy. And people come to our calls and keep coming in. And it may not happen the first time. It may not happen the second time. It may not happen for a year. It usually doesn't take a year. But to learn how to tune, the way they describe it is they're a frequency. And that their frequency is on the line. And some of you are feeling it, even though I'm not emphasizing that. Some of you are feeling the energy while I'm talking, that they can project and they can visit and connect with each of you if you're open to that. Now, one of the things about having that experience is you have to trust it. They're not going to, like, impose themselves on you. So in order to trust it, you have to study the materials, pay attention, and have an open mind, and see what happens. Many people have said this integrates much of what they knew about Christianity, about spirit, about New Age. It's kind of like connecting a lot of dots, and no one else is talking about it. And it was only because I kept thinking, I remember when I was having this experience, there must be a mistake. I mean, I'm getting an understanding of how the universe works that I had never, ever, in all my study of metaphysical things, had anyone describe. There were little bits and pieces of it, but not the whole enchilada. That there's these two group souls, one that's made up of graduates of this realm, and one that's made up of celestial energies that never came into this realm, and that they were both on behalf of this realm and did many interventions in our history to try to shift things here. And the difficulty is that you would think if they were doing this, we wouldn't be in the mess we were in right now. Well, the problem is that there are negative sources, both in other realms and in this realm. And these negative sources have gotten control of a lot of things. And even when they do something, the positive sources of these two group souls, almost invariably, the negative comes in and attempts to derail it. So we could take, let's just say Jesus was an expression of the group soul of graduates, and that he was positive. And people could, the reason he created such a following is because people could feel the energy. When somebody is manifesting or connecting with them, then other people can feel it. And many of you that were on our call on Sunday could feel the energy on the call. And you can't fake that. It's real. It's powerful. And, but of course, then what happens is Jesus leaves this realm, and a little bit later, there's something called the Council of Nicaea that rewrites the Bible, that the Christianity is now being adopted. What happens is those people in power try to use things like the real deal and take control of them so they can control other people. And so it quickly gets corrupted. And that's why this realm is so screwed up. There's a lot more to the story. And I announced that I was going to do a workshop Saturday, and I'm going to spend a lot of time explaining some of the mysteries of the way things work that can be very, very important to all of you. For example, it's very hard to figure in this realm what you can trust and what you can't trust. And there's so many people vying for your attention and saying, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell, or this is the way it is, or our UFOs are going to land and they're going to save us. Well, I think I really know the understanding of a lot of that stuff. And by listening to me for a few hours, it's going to help your discernment immensely. If you're getting a gut-level reaction that I'm positive and this work is legitimate, it's one of the reasons I give it away for free, because most of it for free, because it's so important. I know that it's so out there that you have to discover it first before you resonate with it. I can't present it to you and say, read this book and it's going to save your ass. I can't do that because it wouldn't sound legitimate. So we've been doing things for free for a long time, and mostly out of our own pockets, out of Terry's pocket, out of doing other things. Now, we're suddenly getting a huge amount of people paying attention to us from coast to coast, and what it's going to allow me to do is charge small amounts of money, very little, but if there's enough people spending $5 or $10 or $3, it can support this work and cause it to have the funding to reach more people. Now, I was going to read a question here, and then I'm going to let some of the people on the call tonight, some of you who heard me for the first time on George Norrie, and some of you who have been regulars and have had experiences on this call, share a little bit of their experiences. But I'm going to answer this one question, and this is from James Lysak, and he heard me on George Norrie, and this is a good question. He says, I'm a skeptic of channeling. Is there a way for you to make me believe it's real? Can you channel and ask them about my future if it will help? I'll send a photo of me along with this email. I'm the guy in the gray shirt, and the photo was taken in 2009. James, even though we're not going to do that, I'm going to tell you why we can't do that and why that's not even a good idea. In the past, they have done many miracles to catch people's attention down here. And they've decided that miracles are not the best way to connect. And the reason is because people give up their power when there's a miracle. They give up their power and they say, okay, I'll follow you. Tell me what to do. And that is not what these forces want. They want to make an energy connection with you. They don't want you to be their follower. They want a co-creative relationship. And if they prove themselves in the way you're asking, that would create the potential for blind following. So they don't want to prove themselves in that way. Although the people that are in our conference calls have watched many, many things happen that were impossible to happen otherwise. But they never even take credit for it. They usually don't take credit for it. It just happens. I mean, there's people that come into the calls and have healings. There's people that come into the calls. I remember once, more than once this happened, suddenly Terry is channeling, and they say hello to somebody by name, and then I get a strange name, and I get a letter from Turkey saying, hey, they said my name. Well, they know I'm here. It kind of happens in between the cracks, if you pay attention, that you'll start to see that they actually are paying attention. And, you know, when Terry talks and when she channels, there is no way Terry could bring this information through out of her conscious mind. There's no way she could make it up. Another thing about phenomena and miracles, the negative in other realms can also do phenomena and miracles. And if that is the way you're going to validate what you're going to pay attention to, then you could very just as easily get a negative source as a positive source, if that makes sense. So, thank you, James. That's the answer. And you're going to find the proof is going to come to you by your paying attention and being open-minded. And you have to ask yourself, where is this voice coming from? Where is Terry and Daphne getting this information? Is there anything negative? When they say they love us, do they really mean it? Can I feel the love? Or are they just conning me? You got to ask yourself that. Because from their point of view, and they've said this many times, this is a rare and unusual thing we're doing in this realm. Very unusual to bring this out in a public way and bring their message and their voice and their energy in a public way that could reach millions of people. And one of the things that they constantly reiterate is that they can help us. They can rearrange things. They can co-create with us. But we need to tune into their frequency. And we need to ask them, because otherwise they would be violating our free will. Even when it seems positive, even if is something we really want. The way they described it in one session was that we can help you by spreading, it's like spraying WD-40 on your aura, in which case they can break down patterns of resistance, help you to break down patterns of resistance in yourself so that you can flow, so that things can flow towards you. You know, many of you understand the experience of how you can feel really stuck in yourself. I certainly know this experience. And when you feel stuck, it's very hard to attract something towards you that you really want. It would be like going around looking for a job and being sad, depressed, angry, and keep going into offices and having interviews, and everyone's going to say no. So the key is how do you get out of all those feelings so you can exude some real joy, some real expression, some real confidence? It's not money that makes you confident. It's an inner quality. And on our calls and all our materials, we are coming up with many, many tools, many wisdoms that are helping people go through those kinds of patterns. Now, I am going, you know, there's one lady who had an extraordinary experience, Janice, who I think is on the line, and I thought I would have her share it. Janice, do star 6. Let's see if she comes up. Are you there, Janice? Star 6.
I'm here.
I hear you. Okay, we got you. So Janice discovered us on the Coast to Coast show, and she came into our Sunday grid healing, and she emailed me her experience on that call, and this is not unusual to have someone to have this kind of experience. Now, if you come into the call, you may not get this the first time, but I just want you to know what happened to someone that did get it the first time. Go ahead, Janice.
Well, I called, and I could just feel the energy through my feet just resonate through my whole body. I guess the only way I can describe it is like when you light a match and the heat distorts the air around it, and you can actually see that it's kind of wavy. It was kind of like that through my entire body, but not hot. Just you could just feel the good energy in it. You could just feel it. It was amazing. And then when I was done and I went outside, everything looked 10 times brighter. It was just very emotional thing.
Were you depressed before the call? Or, like, do you feel depressed in your life often?
No, I don't, actually.
You don't? Okay.
Just me. I'm not a depressed person, but...
Good.
Yeah, it was very amazing. And
Had you ever experienced it while
I'm sitting here. I could feel it before I got on the call that people were going to start calling in, so I better get in, and I was the first caller. It's kind of weird.
Right. Did you ever experience that before, that feeling?
No, I've never felt that before. Mm-hmm. That was
okay.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for sharing it with all of us. Let me see if Doug is on, if there's anybody that's calling in on the phone. Doug, are you there? Are you listening? Hello, Doug. If you're calling on the phone, I'm sorry that we're not getting you through. Our producer, engineer, is disappeared. Okay, on the conference line, is there anyone else on the conference line? How about if we take somebody that's been on the calls regularly that had an extraordinary experience of growth? Oh, is that Doug? Doug, is there anybody on the phone?
There isn't.
Okay, great.
Hello.
Is there any? Who is that now?
I just pushed star 6.
Okay. Who is that?
My name is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. So,
are you
discovering us newly right now? Are you in?
Well,
new
I'm place? Not discovering Elohim is brand new, but I'm discovering you is brand new.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I tried and tried and tried from 5:45 forward to get into your show via the internet, and I could listen to it, but I couldn't get in the on call, and when I didn't hear someone, so I'm more than happy to bow out. But if I could speak with you, I'd love it.
Okay, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I also, at the end of the show, like to ask you to make sure to announce where I can find you online. But I'm a creator and a writer, and I've been creating this story for on my journey for 26 years. And then it's incredible, incredible story, and I was led to you. And the Elohim the other day in a meditation came to me and were celebrating and bowing to me and congratulating me and then myself to them as well, because I was just so moved. And they just kept saying, Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. And the minute I came, and the day before that, I think I went on a little journey to a ship, and I won't go into all that awareness of mine, but my characters come from many, many, many dimensions, and I believe that they are channeled through me. I don't even question that stuff. That's what my character's about. My story's about for children. So to be led to you, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is fascinating, because I'd like to talk to you personally as well about the work. But if you can speak about, you know, that's the first time that I've had the conscious contact from Elohim, 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 and I repeated because that's how they kept communicating to me. And I won't go into the visuals and everything to get it where, you know, when I got there with the council and the colors and the cathedral that they sat me in, etc. But I'm still in awe over it, and I don't want to be misinformed, and I really, really resonate to what you're saying and respect. I missed some of it at the beginning, and I wish that I could find out, like I say, your website to find out more information about what you're aware of.
Well,
in the
website,
because my story is.
The website is.
Down.
The website is intelligent-infinity.com. Okay? And we're still building the website. I mean, literally, I finished the website about a few weeks. It's not finished. I finished the first part of it a few weeks ago. And, you know, it's been my challenge to think, how do I put this out into the world? What do I put on a website? And I think I finally feel comfortable with the way I'm doing it. I'll be putting lots more up there. And on the website, there's one link at the top that's called Archives. And it's sloppy. It goes to, it's not really put up very well. I didn't put that, that's from our email sender, but every time we send an email out, they put our email in the archives. So we have 3 years of our conference calls there, and it's a good place to go research, and you'll find audios, you'll find transcripts of many of the interactions we've had with the Elohim. So, just to clarify, you never had a voice in your head say where they were the Elohim before, and then suddenly, after our call, you suddenly heard a voice that said Elohim, correct? Are you there? Okay, thank you for sharing. Anyone else like to share? Star 6 on the line.
Yeah, I'd like to share.
Who is that?
My name's David.
Hi, David.
Hello. I heard you on Coast to Coast on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not on Sunday. I think it was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday or Thursday. It was last week. And I went on your grid healing on Sunday. I was speaking to several people before the call, like an hour and a half before the call, before you actually came on. And when you finally did come on, I felt that energy initially through the feet, the tingling. And then I had my phone ended up cutting out when you were saying a prayer for the earth, and I didn't know if that was a very odd occurrence. I mean, it just completely cut out.
Well, there's a lot of odd occurrences that happen around this work. And I don't know if that was something energetically or just with a phone company or if they're both the same thing. But what city are you in?
I'm in Mesa, Arizona. Actually, it was part of what you were, where you had to move into your book. I was reading your book and you were moving here.
Are you a Mormon?
No, sir.
No.
Okay. Not at all.
You learn in my book that they told me to go to Mesa, and then they sent me to a Mormon church to introduce myself
yes.
to the people there. And
that's about how far I got in the book.
Right. Okay. So, it's always fun to talk to somebody from Mesa. I remember we were in Motel 6, Terry and I, in downtown Mesa, and we went out to dinner, and you know, they told me I was supposed to meet somebody in Mesa, but I didn't know who it was. And I remember when I went to Mesa for the weekend, I said, this is going to be a wild goose chase, but I have to not leave any stone uncovered. So we were in Mesa, and we were having dinner, and I asked the waitress, so what is Mesa known for? And she said, Mormons. And I knew that when I Googled the word Elohim, I found that the Mormons use Elohim as their word for God. And so when I found Mesa was a Mormon town, I asked them, I said, you don't mean for me to introduce myself to the Mormons, do you? And they said, not the entire church. There's a small group here that will be open to you. And I said, how do I find that group? And they said, go to the church on blankety blank street. And they gave me the name of the street. And then I went through the phone book. There's probably about 50 huge amount of Mormon churches in Mesa. And I found the church on that street, and I went. And you can read the book and see what happened. But David, thank you so much for sharing your experience. And anyone else that's one of our regulars on the line that would like to talk? They're all scared because there's suddenly lots of people listening. Pies, are you on? Or they got there late and the line was busy. Anyone want to share anything?
There are 1 moderator and 22 participants on the call.
Okay. Well, you know what? Are you sure there's no one else that wants to participate? Say anything. Anyone have a question? Anyone even think that...
I'll participate.
Who is that now?
This is James in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, James. I love your Tulsa accent.
Well, thanks a lot. Now my wife's laughing at me. The reason I called was I had a son about 9 years ago. My wife, after the pregnancy, lost her birth weight the first week, but she had been losing weight since, and you know, she's down to about 80 pounds. And so I heard you Friday night on the show, and I was hoping to, you know, maybe get her on the calls, and you know, maybe she can get a healing eventually. So we're both on the call tonight, but I'm just, since somebody else was talking, I guess I'd let you know why we're here.
Well, thank you. What's your wife's name?
Her name's Darla.
Darla?
Darla is 4'11" and 80 pounds.
4'11" and 80. Hello there, Darla. And we're going to send you
Donna.
Lots of... Donna. Okay. Hello, Donna. Nice to have you.
Star 6.
Now, the way that, you know, a lot of people want healings. They hear we can have healings. And I can explain to you what I've observed, that as you come onto the line, as you get comfortable being here, as you start getting their frequency, it opens up, increases the potential for some kind of healing. It's like, I'm not a magician. I wish I was, because I don't like being in the position of having people having healings around this work, because I don't want to disappoint anyone. And I would love to wave my magic wand and say, you're healed. And maybe that'll happen, but it hasn't happened yet. So I can tell you that people that come on the line regularly, that start to get healing, and there's like, in the past, it's been small enough that everyone gets to know each other. And as you come on the line and you get to know the other people on the line, it makes like a comfortability. It creates, it grounds it into the human side. And one of the things that I've learned is that as high as these guys may be, you're still a human. And the more you can be human and accept your humanness and understand your humanness, the easier it is for them to connect with you. I've said this many times, that when my sister had her healing, you know, there was a two-step process to it. One is she survived this critical cancer operation. Let me mute everybody for a moment.
All callers are muted.
She survived this critical cancer operation, and although I asked them to help, I didn't know that they were involved. I thought it was coincidence or she would have survived anyway. But she was in a rehabilitation home, and I started calling her every day and telling her jokes. And I called myself the cheer-up committee, and I made her tell the jokes to the nurses. And, like, her bed, where she was, started to glow. Everybody loved her. They would come around saying, what's the joke today, Joanne? And then 4 weeks later, she had to go in for tests to see if the cancer had gone away. And they told her the cancer was gone from the test, but there was something wrong with the test because her lupus disappeared. And they tested her over and over again, and then I get a call from my brother-in-law, and they have no idea. I didn't talk about these conversations I was having through Daphne with my sister. And I get a call from my brother-in-law, and he said, something really strange happened. Joanne doesn't have lupus, and lupus never goes away. And at that point, I was dumbfounded. I realized there had to be some kind of intervention. And I asked them, I said, how did you do that? And they said, well, we projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus out. And later, they told me that if I didn't do the cheer-up committee, they wouldn't have been able to do that healing. So one of the aspects to have a healing is to be happy where you are. The more happy you can be where you are, the more open your energies are for something to happen from other realms. And that was a really amazing thing to learn because, you know, I said, these are these magical beings and they can do anything, and they healed my sister. But yet the cheer-up committee was a crucial part of that. So it's 7:03. We're probably supposed to be off the air. Doug hasn't thrown me off, so they probably don't have a show on after me. And we are going to do another call on Wednesday night where people submit questions. If you want to submit a question for Wednesday, send your question to questions@messageaday.net. And I can't promise that I'll get to it. I try to pick the questions based on how the answer will impact the largest group of people and whether you've never asked a question before, I give that priority. and also personal urgency. If your life is totally falling apart and they can give an answer that'll help, there's a good chance I'll ask that question. And something about channeling, and this is very, very important, something I've learned is because we are doing this, many people think they want to channel. And they start saying, talk to me. Could you talk to me? Well, what I've learned is there are negative sources that will come through and talk to somebody and say they're the Elohim. So anytime you have any kind of verbal communication with anything on the other side, don't believe it's who they said they were. I didn't believe it. Test it. Ask questions. One of the things a negative source will do is it will kiss your ego. It'll say, oh, you're such a special person. We've chosen to talk to you. You are our next world leader, blah, 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 blah. They will do things to seduce you by your ego. And they will also make predictions of doom and gloom. And anything that comes through that does anything like that, be careful. Because we've had people in our group over the years that have had that experience. And when I checked it out myself, I didn't get a positive, that it was a positive source. We also have had people that have actually gotten the Elohim as a result of being on our calls. And one guy was on the call, and that night his wife came through and said, I'm getting this voice in my head. And he sent me a recording of it, and I said, I think it sounds like it could be them. And then I asked the question to our sources, and they said it was them. And he ended up putting up his own website and putting up his Elohim messages. But this whole idea of channeling is very, very, very tricky. And the most important thing is to learn to feel their frequency, to feel their energy. And when you feel their energy, and it's very loving, and it's very uplifting, then you have a reference point. So if something ever talks to you, and you don't feel that same energy, then be careful. Because negative sources can lead to very horrible things happening if you're not aware of what you're doing, including things like abductions, God knows what. So don't strive to be a channel. Strive to feel their energy. And if you end up getting guidance and something, and you hear a voice inside you, test it for a long time. Don't do anything it says. Ask it questions. And because otherwise you can get hooked into the negative and start bringing negative messages out to other people. And in the world of channeling, there are many, 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 many people that they sound really good, but they have mixed messages. In fact, Carla Ruckert, who is somebody that has been channeling the Ra Group since 1981, has said that if you're dealing with a channeled source, the best way to protect yourself is to ask questions of universal truth. When you ask, like asking questions, is the stock market going up? Are we going to have an earthquake in California? You have to be really careful with those kinds of questions, because that can bring in a negative source. And she also said, and this is something I learned, is that even if you're channeling a high source, it's possible for a negative source to come in at any moment and intersperse a message with your positive messages, and it can really throw you off. So you have to be very, very vigilant. When I tell people, when we're talking to the Elohim, never take it and believe it blindly. Test everything. Now, we are lucky enough to have Terry, who is very highly intended, and, you know, no self-aggrandizement, not wanting to be recognized, and only wanting to be of service. And all those attitudes in her make her a pure channel. And it's like most of us, or many of us, don't feel recognized, don't feel appreciated, and wish we were. And when you suddenly channel, you think, well, now everybody's going to pay attention to me. And that is exactly the attitude that can bring in a negative source. So you must be very careful with this. But if you come into our calls, keep coming into our calls, you'll start picking it up. You'll pick up the frequency, and you'll start to sense who they are and how they are. It's 7:11, and Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry? Hello, Terry?
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
Now, I wasn't planning on having them say hello on this call, but are you feeling their urging to want to say hello to this group?
Give me a minute. Sure. Yes, very brief hello, because we're sensing.
Okay, let me call in the light. We'll have them say hello. And on our Saturday call, I never promised we're going to do a channeling. You know, one of the things to do, we don't do this to try to prove ourselves or to show off. And to do a channeling publicly like this, one of the things that's required is there's enough of you, you who are listening, you are not anonymous. Your energy is being noticed. And we need enough of you holding a positive energy that makes it safe to do this publicly. And, you know, as I was just saying about negative sources, once we do a channeling publicly, we can't take it back. And it's only been because we've proved ourselves over and over again, and I felt the positiveness of this, that we've been willing to do this, and it's worked out really wonderfully. So I do a little invocation of protection. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection of all of those listening and all of those listening to the replay. And while we make this group energy, we maintain the sovereign integrity of our souls. We are not losing one bit of our own individuation. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And we'll take a moment. Those of you that are here and want healings, you just might ask silently for that in this moment. Some of you can feel the energy coming in at the top of your head. You feel a little glow or lightheadedness around your forehead. And that means your energy is going through the dimensions. And I'm going to turn it over to our sources as they communicate to us and with us through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is July 2nd, 2012. And we non-linearly welcome each and every person who is within the range of this voice or listens to a replay or reads a transcript of this call. And we thank Don and we thank Doug for providing the opportunity to come through on the radio station and the conference line people, all the volunteers, and it is a sacred moment for us to be able to offer ourselves in presence within your dimension. We speak slowly because we are in near the space of each and every person who is hearing this or reading this at whatever time they are reading it or hearing it. We feel a profound appreciation that we are given this opportunity and that you have joined us and joined the call. And we are speaking fully as we are in your presence to what degree, whatever degree you wish to be present with us. We look forward to more opportunities to serve you. Adonai.
Thank you. On that note, I'm just reminding you, pay attention to our workshop this Saturday. I'm going to be going into a lot of detail about how to discern negative and positive, about the history of the universe, and being on the call for 3 or 4 hours is a real good way to start to learn how to tune in to these frequencies from higher dimensions for yourself. So thank you all. Thank all our volunteers. Thank all the people that have been regulars on our call, and we'll see some of you Wednesday, and some of you Saturday, and some of you on Sunday. And on that, we wish you a great rest of the evening.
All callers are unmuted.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye
now.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.